going to do another New Year's service, but it's going to be called, listen carefully, New Year's Resignations. Listen carefully. It's a play on words. New Year's Resignations. And so come on next week. It's going to be awesome. And I believe somebody's actually is going to make a difference in their lives. They're going to be touched in such a powerful way. We thank you for all the Lord does all the time. Amen. Let's see here. Yeah, there you go. Good. Now I can see y'all better. I can see who's sleeping and who's playing on their phone. That's one of our resignations for this year. I will no longer be on Facebook and or playing games by the pastors trying to give me the word of life. You say, well, I can think better. No, it's called a distraction. That's why people get killed texting and driving. How'd you like to go to hell because you were texting in worship? Amen. All right. I can see it now. There's a sign in hell saying, don't text in worship. All right. Here we go. Get your Bibles out. Turn to Proverbs chapter 3. This is going to be a good year for us, but we got to put our part into it. How many saw Mighty Army this morning? It's impossible, or matter of fact, here, let me give you the exact one. It said, I discovered that you can't go through life with catcher's mitts or catcher's mitt on each hand. Think about it. You got to throw one hand. If all you're doing is catching, it's going to be a sad life. Amen. You got to throw it out there. Amen. Get your Bibles. Turn to Proverbs chapter 3. God is so good to us. All the time. Even through all this bad weather that we've had, we could have been a whole lot worse. There were some deaths. There were some fatalities through all of this. And there was some bad stuff happening to people around here. But overall, compared to what could have happened, the Lord was blessing. Amen. Proverbs chapter 3. And I'm going to give some where we stopped where we were at last week, and then I'm going to go right on in and jump on in. I'm just going to tell you what they were. How many did make any resolutions this year? Just in case you didn't, it's not too late. I'm going to give you some if you don't know what you want to do. I'm going to give you some. Matter of fact, how many? Well, are you sick of making resolutions every year that you never keep? Are you sick of saying what you're going to do and then it doesn't happen? Well, we're going to talk about some things that you can do, but I'm going to give you some kind of humorous ones to start with. I've decided to some things I can use as a starting point. I'm pretty sure I can keep these resolutions. Number one, first resolution of the year, gain weight. At least 30 pounds. Bodybuilder. Okay, that's right. Matter of fact, I was stepping on the scale and I was holding my belly in looking down at the scale and one lady said, come by, said, that's not going to help. Why? Says, yeah, it does help to see the scale. Stop exercising. It's a waste of time. Maybe a resolution. What about this? Read less. It makes you think. Procrastinate more starting tomorrow. Get into a whole new rut. Speak in a monotone voice and only use monosyllabic words. Isn't that cool? Create loose ends. Get further in debt. Don't believe politicians. Break at least one traffic law. How many want to do all these things? Not me. They're funny, but you know what I mean? They're not even funny, actually. We need to make resolutions that are going to make a difference in our lives. Amen. And so here we go. Proverbs chapter 3. Stand for the reading of the word. God is so good to us. Amen. Proverbs chapter 3. My son, forget not thy law, but let thine heart keep my commandments. For length of days and long life and peace shall they add to thee. Let not mercy and truth forsake thee. Bind them around thy neck. Write them upon the table of thy heart. So shalt thou find favor and good understanding in the sight of God and of man. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart. Lean not unto thy own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge him, and he will direct thy paths. Be not wise in thy own eyes. Fear the Lord. Depart from evil. And it shall be health to thy navel, and marrow to thy bones. Honor the Lord with all thy substance, and with the first fruits of all thine increase. So shall thy barns be filled with plenty, and thy presses shall be burst out with new wine. My son, despise not the chastening of the Lord, neither be weary of his correction. For whom the Lord loveth, he correcteth, even as a father to a son in whom he delighteth. Happy is the man that findeth wisdom, and the man that getteth understanding. Father, we love you, Lord. We praise your name. We thank you for your grace. We thank you for your mercy. Call to us right now. Lord, this day is your day, not ours. It's your day. And Father, help us, God, to remember that and all that we do. Help us to understand, Lord, and hold on tight to you, God, especially this last year. In the name of Jesus, I believe it's going to be our best year. Touch, Lord, everybody here. Let them understand what you are doing. In the name of Jesus, we pray. And the church said, amen. Shake somebody's hand on the way down and say, this is a good opportunity. Amen. Now, this is just a couple of slides from last week for those that may not have been here, so you can kind of keep up with where we're going. If you want a good summary of life, go to Proverbs chapter 3. So last year at this time, some of you were saying, this year things are going to be different. I'm going to change. How many said that last January? Amen? I'm going to be a better spouse. I'm going to spend more time with my family. I'm going to spend more time reading my Bible, spend more time praying, spend more time serving others. This year, I'm going to get my ducks in a row. I've heard people say that. I've said that. Amen? But just a simple show of hands, how many stuck with them? Well, come on now. Amen. So watch this. People make resolutions, and we've been talking. This is just slides from last week. I promise we're going to, or week before last. We weren't here last week. New Year's resolutions basically fall into three categories. Things that make us look better and live longer. Things that make us have more and help us to get along with everybody else. The means actually longevity, prosperity, and peace. In order to affect our lives, we must move from resolutions, which are thoughts. We got a thought. I have a bunch of good thoughts. Amen. I think about exercising really hard every day. I think about ways to just improve everything I touch my hands every day. I think of ways, all kinds of ways that the church could be so much better, blah, blah, blah. But guess what? As long as they're in your mind, they're just thoughts. And thoughts until they come out of your mind, until they actually become action, they're just thoughts. So, resolutions don't last. I've yet to see a New Year's resolution last. But revolutions do, because a revolution is actually attitude-based. Amen? And so speaking of attitudes now, we're going to do revolutions. And so here's some from last week. And I'm going to go ahead and we're going to read this scripture again. And please pray for these knees. I think, like I said, I think it might be a reaction from the Tamiflu. I don't know. But all of a sudden my knees are swollen up and I can't get them to go back down. So I know it's got something to do with that flu. It got something to do with this stuff. But I know God's got this. Amen? Always. My son, forget not my law. Let not thy heart keep my commandments. Let thine heart keep my commandments. For length of days and long life and peace shall they add to thee. Let not mercy or truth forsake thee. Bind them round thy neck. Write them upon the table of thine heart. So thou shalt find favor and good understanding in the sight of God and man. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart, and lean not unto thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy paths. Be not wise in thy own eyes. Fear the Lord, and depart from evil. It shall be health to thy navel and marrow to thy bones. Honor the Lord with thy substance and with the first fruits of all thine increase. So shall thy barns be filled with plenty, and thy presses shall burst out with new wine. My son, despise not the chastening of the Lord, neither be weary of his correction. For whom the Lord loveth, he correcteth even as a father the son in whom he delighteth. That's the first 12 verses. And here's our revolutions from last week. And then we're going on. Revolution number one, or attitude number one, is simply, let love and faithfulness never leave you. Revolution number two, or attitude number two, trust in the Lord with all your heart. Attitude number three, do not be wise in your own eyes. Attitude number four, honor the Lord with your wealth. And attitude number five, despise not the Lord's discipline. Remember, when we see chastising, we always think of it as a bad thing. It's not a bad thing. How many here go to training at your work? You have training classes. That's discipline. That is old English chastising. How many here like to study at night or study when you get a chance? You're studying your Bible. You know what? You're chastening yourself. Amen? So chastening is not a bad thing. Every time we see chastening, we think of a whip or we think of taking you to the woodshed. No, chastening is discipline. Discipline can be rough, but discipline is just getting yourself in the condition to learn and to change your ways. Okay, so now, Revelation number 6. Now, we got the first five right there. Now, Revelation number 6, which is so cool, and we all need this. I love this. What exactly is the New Year's resolution? It's a to-do list for the first week of January. Amen. Here we go. Revolution number 6, or attitude number 6. Search diligently for wisdom and find it. Don't just look for it. Find it. This is the man who finds wisdom, the man who gains understanding. For she is more profitable than silver and yields better returns than gold. She is more precious than rubies. Nothing you desire can compare to her. Long life is in her right hand, and in her left hand are riches and honor. Her ways are pleasant ways. All her paths are peace. She is a tree of life to those who embrace her. Those who lay hold of her will be blessed. By wisdom the Lord laid the earth's foundations. By understanding he set the heavens in place. And by his knowledge, his deeps were divided, and the clouds let drop the dew. My son, preserve sound judgment and discernment, that the clouds let drop the dew. My son, preserve sound judgment and discernment. Do not let them out of your sight. They will be a life for you and an ornament to grace your neck. Then you will go on your way in safety, and your foot will not stumble. You will lie down. You will not be afraid. When you lie down, your sleep will be sweet. There is no stopping us. We have to find wisdom. I remember working at Procter & Gamble, and this is kind of a crazy one. Let me just go ahead and go to the next slide, and I'll explain what I'm talking about. So search diligently for wisdom, right? Well, there's two kinds of wisdom. Did you know that? I'm not talking just earthly wisdom and spiritual wisdom. I'm talking about there's actually two categories or two groups or characteristics of wisdom. The first characteristic, of course, is information. It says, verse 13 through 20, it talks about wisdom would deal with knowledge, learning, information, intelligence, data, facts, intellect, and experience. And then there's know-how. It talks about those characteristics of wisdom which deal with perception, discernment, judgment, reason, insight, prudence, discretion, and just plain old common sense. So now, I remember Procter & Gamble, I told them, I'm really in a bind here. I need some people here to help me with this computerized, these PLCs, this machine that's PLC operated, and I need some technicians. I don't need operators. Y'all are sending operators. I don't need operators. I need somebody that can get down there with a meter and take care of it. Somebody can get there and take a meter, a scope, whatever, can fix things. And so this one guy actually went and told he said, I got somebody sent to you. He said, it's my nephew. When the department manager has a nephew, he sends his nephew who just graduated from electronics school. I said, well, okay, so it's his nephew, so that means I'm going to be careful how I say it. He's my boss. And he's from just from electronic school, but I found out once he went to work there, I trained him for the first 3 or 4 months, and I found out he couldn't walk and chew chewing gum at the same time. Honest to God, he could not take a meter and find a bad fuse. He had a 2-year degree. He could not find a bad fuse. He could not terminate a motor. He could not do anything we needed done. He had no idea what a PLC was. And so I actually said to my immediate boss, why don't you just send me another operator instead of sending me him? He said, well, that's the boss's son or nephew. He needs a job. And he went to his uncle said, I got one for you. David needs help. We're going to send you to him. Well, praise God. Hallelujah. Again, information. He had a 2-year degree, information, but he did not have any know-how. He could not even check a fuse. I kid you not, he could not take a meter and check a fuse. I almost died when I saw what they sent me and how I had to train him to go and use meters and use all this other stuff, megas and all this. It just blew me away. But again, a lot of times we have information. We hear it every Sunday. Every Sunday you hear information. But if all it is, if you don't apply it to your life, if you have a bad attitude, if you won't grow up in the Lord, what it's going to be is just information. And so when you need it, guess what? You're not going to be able to use it. It's amazing how much information we have been given over the years. How to live for God, how to do for God, how to handle things, how to handle ourselves, how to handle other things, how to handle people, how to handle certain situations. But then, because it's only information, it doesn't help us when we get in the trenches. So God says it's important that we ask for wisdom. I don't want just information. I got all kinds of information. You know, as I'm going to school now, and I sit back, and Linda's going to school too, and she's taking a class that I took last year. And while she's taking that class, she said, well, what you think about this, blah, blah, blah. And I'm just rattling it right off to her. And she goes, this is, and I let her watch, I watched her watch some of her classmates who had never been in a leadership class. And they were just astounded by some of the stuff they were watching. And the stuff I've been learning now for about 15, 20 years. And so to me, it was old school. To them, it was new school. But you know what? Whether it's old school or new school, if we don't use it, if you don't use it, it's worthless. So, ask God this year as a resolution. God, I don't want just to have knowledge. I don't want to sit down to another sermon and get knowledge and walk off and never use it. I want to be able to take that knowledge and let the Holy Spirit, I ingest it, and the Holy Spirit, when I ingest it and I pray about it and I see God, God will take that knowledge and he will combine it with his power, and now you got wisdom. And with that wisdom, you can actually see life change. How many want to see life change? You hear it every week, how to change life. But you know what? If it's not changing, if you're still fighting the same battles this year that you were fighting 5 years ago, the problem is you've got know-how, or you've got information, but you don't have that know-how. Let God give you that wisdom. That right there was worth it all. Amen. All right. Number 7, attitude. I'm going to keep you long. Number 7, there ain't, but there's not but 10 of them, so you don't have long. Revolution number 7, have no fear. Have no fear of sudden disaster or of the ruin that overtakes the wicked, for the Lord will be your confidence and will keep you, your foot, from being snared. I remember when it snowed last week. It snowed in my front yard week before last. It literally, the smallest, the lowest snow in my yard that I could measure, the lowest snow was 8 inches. Most of the places was with the drifts and all that stuff too, but most of those places is around 12 inches. And the street that I lived on, I'm glad that I didn't have to drive to my father-in-law's every day. I just walked down there. And normally it's seven houses down from him, and it normally takes just a couple of minutes for me to walk down there briskly. And this time and now it was taking 10 to 15 minutes to get to him because I literally had to make a path to get to him and my mother-in-law. But again, I didn't fear that. I saw the stuff, and I just said, thank you for your creation, God. I know you got it covered. And then finally, some stuff started going down, and so we needed some stuff. They needed some stuff, and so we weren't expecting to be put up that long. And so I got in Linda's SUV versus my car, and so I started driving through, and I brought Bethany with me one time. Bethany says, Daddy, this is scary. Because there was places there, I'm talking about in Washington, I could not believe up to the hospital, they had not even cleaned off the roads for the rescue squads to go in. This is 3 or 4 days later. There was places that still had ice right where the rescue squads had to go into the hospital emergency room. I couldn't believe it. I don't remember this much snow and this much ice. And after all these heavy temperatures yesterday, there was still a big old pile of snow that you could set in 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7 pews around. That is pews. There's a big old pile of snow out in the mall They had just piled up, and it was about 6 or 7 foot deep with all those temperatures. That's how much snow we had. Y'all remember? Y'all were there. Amen. And so I was sitting there, and I was driving, and Bethany said, "Daddy, I don't like this." And I said, "Bethany, I'm not afraid of it." And she said, "Why?" I said, "Well, personally, it's because I know how to drive it. This is my first rodeo. You don't know how to drive it, but I do." I said, "But if that's all I had to go by, I would really be afraid." I said, "But I've got God with me, and I'm out here joyriding. I'm out here getting some medicine. I said, it's going to be okay." And so I got God. And some of my brethren kept saying, "God, you got this. God, you got this." And then you had these guys, these great old big four-wheel drive trucks that had to show everybody how big and bad they were with those big four-wheel drive trucks. And I got passed on a road with nothing but ice. There was no, you could not see the cement or the asphalt. And the big old four-wheel drive kept coming behind me and trying to run me out like he could run me off the road. And I looked over at Bethany and I said, "I ain't moving. Why don't I want to speed up and wind up in a ditch so he can pull me out? He can feel good that he pulled me out of a ditch he ran me into." And that rascal passed me. And after he passed me a little ways down the road, he went in a turn, and when he turned, I saw him doing like this. And so I reckon he's all right. I don't know. I didn't go down and check on him. I was too busy trying to stay on the road. Amen. But, I mean, if he'd have been in trouble, we'd have heard something. He'd skip on going after he spun around. Again, have no fear. There's a lot of things happening right now. You know, it's really kind of crazy. North Korea, South Korea. Now North Korea has finally opened up a line of communication with South Korea. Have you heard about that? They finally opened up communication, which to me says something's up. Russia is being kind of quiet in some ways right now, but they've been zooming our stuff and getting as close as they can to it, trying almost like they're trying to provoke something. And you hear Iran's been kind of quiet, but they got that nuclear deal going on, all that stuff, and so there's a lot of things happening in our life. But you know what? And it brings a lot of fear on people. And fear, you can tell somebody that's chronically afraid. You know why? When somebody's chronically afraid, it's one thing to have a past fear, just, "Oh, you know what, I don't like that." But when you have a chronic fear, all of a sudden you begin to get depressed or you get anxiety. Usually depression is about what you're in right now, bringing up from the past and what you're in right now. Anxiety is looking at the future. So you can look at anxiety kind of like a depression for the future, and depression is for right now and for behind you. But again, you got all this stuff going on. But our fear fades away because we have confidence in God. I don't have to worry about this thing. I know God's got us. Amen. Every day of my life, I say, "God's got this. God's got it." When Beth and I were riding down the road, Beth said, "What are we going to do? Look how bad it looks out here, Dad." And I said, "Don't worry. God's got this. God's got this." Amen. So that's another resolution or revolution for this year in attitude. I refuse to be afraid. I'm not going to live in depression. I'm not going to live in anxiety. Remember, depression is what's going on now and in the past. Anxiety is now and in the future. And I'm not going to worry about the future or the past. The past is behind me. The future is ahead of me, but God is with me, and so nothing shall be impossible. Amen? Number eight. Here we go. Revolution number eight. Get ready. Here's a good one. Do not withhold good from those who deserve it. When I say deserve it now, I watched, I'm trying to be smart about this now, because on every corner in Greenville, there's somebody holding up a sign wanting money. You seen them? Now they're at the stoplights now, and they're holding up a sign, "Homeless, need food, God bless." And they're talking on a cell phone, smoking cigarettes, and run back over to getting something fancy to eat and come back over. And again, cell phone to cigarettes, and they're homeless. You know what? If I'm homeless, I'm not going to be smoking cigarettes. If I'm homeless, I might have a phone, but I'm buying the cheapest phone I can get. I'm not going to have an iPhone with all the stuff on it. You know, I had a guy literally, he was delivering something for me from a business. And then I said, "I'll help you," because the man said, "I would deliver today, but we don't have anybody to help the delivery guy." I said, "I'll help him." And so I went to help the delivery guy. And we're riding down the road, and he says, "I don't make enough on this job." I said, "You don't?" He said, "No." He said, here's what I make. And I couldn't believe it. He said, here's what I make. And he says, and how am I supposed to pay $150 a month to DirecTV? And how am I supposed to pay $200 a month for me and my girlfriend to have a cell phone? And I finally couldn't take it anymore. I first thought he was joking. I see there's a camera on me. And I said, it's not a camera. And so I looked over at him. I said, well, you know what? He said, what? I said, suddenly. Oh, and he said, now I got this $100 a month for my internet. And I said, well, I'll tell you what. I just saw an advertisement on Suddenlink. You can get cable, and you can get your internet and everything for $60 a month. Everything you need right there for $60 a month. Wi-Fi, everything. He said, really? I said, yeah. He said, wow. That would make life a whole lot simpler than $150 a month plus $100 and $100. I said, yeah. Again. I gave him a tip. And so I gave him a tip. When I gave him a tip, as I'm riding the bike, he's taking me to my house or to my car. He's taking me to my car, and I gave him a tip. He said, well, this is enough for me to get supper. And for now, this is enough for my girlfriend to get supper, for my baby to get supper, but this ain't enough for me to get supper. So I pulled out some more money and I said, well, here, this is enough. And went on. So what I was going to say is, that's not what I'm talking about. Do good unto those that's going to just go crazy. I'm talking about, do not withhold good from those who deserve it. Do not withhold good from those who deserve it when it is in your power to act. Do not say to your neighbor, come back later and I'll give it tomorrow, when you have it now. It's a whole different ball game. You go along and you see somebody in trouble and you can help them, help them. You know, if you know somebody, the Bible says in James, if somebody says they're cold, don't say, I'll pray for you. Go be warm. I'll pray for you. If you got two coats, you give them a coat. You want God to bless you, really bless you, you start being a blessing. And I guarantee you, whatever you need in your own life, if you'll be a blessing to somebody else in that area, God will bless you. So again, do good to others whenever you have the opportunity. Always remember this. Seize the moment. Give to others when they need it. Do not withhold good. Give it, and give it liberally, and give it immediately. I have decided that in my life, the life's too short for me to try to gather up a whole bunch of stuff here for me instead. Because, you know, my uncle spent 30 years in the Coast Guard. 30 years. Can you imagine this check? And he was pretty, he was very, very high. I don't know if he got enlisted in the Coast Guard or not, but he wasn't an officer. He was what kind of sergeant it was, or petty officer. But he had 30 years in the Coast Guard. And then he spent a couple of years working here at a mechanic shop and got his, well, working actually with the county, and retired. He turned 60. I think it was either 62 or 65. And so he decided, what I was going to do is, I'm just going to retire because I've got the Coast Guard and I've got this other retirement. I'm ready to go. I'm going to retire. And before he got his first check, in the middle of the night, his wife, they called me that morning, but in the middle of the night, he hollered her name, grabbed his leg, had a massive heart attack, and died. He never got a chance. For all that he had coming, he never got a chance. And you see people like that too. Since in the last year or two, I've buried 4 or 5 classmates. And so I have decided, and instead of me trying to look out all for number one, my decision is to try to do my best to look out for everybody around me, especially when I see a need, fill it. See the need, and you know what? God will take care of it. So I try to be need conscious of other people. All right, revolution, number 9. We're almost through. Isn't this good stuff? Now, Mr. Fountain had his own golden rule. Mr. Fountain used to have that great big chain around his neck with the fountain symbol. And he'd sit down and say, I'm invoking the golden rule. All the engineers sitting at the tables. We all come up with these answers for all those problems. have good answers. He comes and says, I'm invoking the golden rule. And so I remember the first time I said, what do you mean, doing to others is doing this? And no, he with the gold makes the rules. Well, this isn't the same golden rule. Watch this. Attitude number 9, do not plot harm against your neighbor who lives trustfully near you. Do not accuse a man for no reason when he has done you no harm. You see, plotting against others should never be the activity of God's people. It is never justified. Never. Even if somebody's done you wrong, it is never justified for you to get him. Let me get him. You know, I've seen some guys over the years that honestly, I know what they were doing. I know what they were saying. I even heard them. I even called them in it. And then when then all of a sudden, I had some guys one time that were talking about DC and Daniel because they didn't think DC and Daniel were living up to their expectations, although their children didn't matter, but DC and Daniel lived up to their expectations. I said, well, they're my kids, if you don't mind. And I said, they're living up to my expectations, and they're also serving God. So if you don't mind, me and God got this. Well, the harm they tried to cause, and then within months, their children went down real quick and were in bad trouble with drugs and other things, and they come to me, wanted me to help them. Now, I could have said, tough luck, buddy. You're complaining because DC happened to be in a club that would serve beer to older age people, but not to him, and he had a tag on his arm. It was a deadwood. He has a tag on his arm. He's not being served beer. He's there with the kids younger than his age and younger. They're not even drinking. And you're complaining about that. Now, but I didn't. You know what? He came up, and I said, what can I do to help you? He just put his arm on my shoulder, and he cried like a baby. And I held him, and I cried with him. Now, the human side of me wanted to say, tough luck, buddy. But the God side of me said, let me help you every any way I can. And it's been over and over and over again in my life. And let me just tell you about this one situation. I was at Fountain Power Boats, and there was one of the guys at the head of a department. He did powder coat. He could not stand the vice president of engineering. But when the vice president of engineering quit, he assigned me his job. Not vice president, but I'm talking about the ISO 9000. So I was in charge of ISO 9000. So this guy used to call me the old vice president's name, which was Jim. He said, well, come on, Jim, good Jim. And he would talk about me and cuss me in front of people. And one of the guys came to me and said, does he not know that you had the power to fire him? I said, obviously he don't. And he said, you're going to let him keep talking about you like that? I said, yes, I am. He said, why are you going to do this? I said, because I've got a bigger power that's going to handle it. And so for months, he cussed me and talked junk to me. And finally, one day, we had a report of two or three boats that the powder coat was substandard. It was so substandard that we would have never have done this. And Mr. Fountain said, when I find out who did this, I'm going to fire him. And according to the paperwork, it was him. And he looked at me and he said, watch this, Mr. David. Up until this point, he was cussing me and calling me Jim. I said, Mr. David. I said, I'm not Mr. I'm just David. He said, they're going to fire me. I said, no, they're not. He said, yeah, they are. They got this stuff on me. I said, well, he said, but I'll tell you, I didn't do it. I said, well, how about just let me look? And so I took all the databases down, and I searched for a couple of weeks, and I finally found the paperwork that showed that he had taken over the department, but it was still the last three boats were done by the guy that had quit. He didn't care. And so he had taken these million-dollar boats and messed them up. And so I looked at him and said, buddy, you're going to be okay. He said, no, Mr. Brown, I'm going to fire me. Mr. Brown, I'm going to fire me. I need this job, blah, blah, blah. I said, hold on. Now again, for 6 months or more, he's been cussing me and talking junk about me. So he comes up, and I go to Mr. Fountain. I said, Mr. Fountain, Willie didn't do this. Willie had nothing to do with this. He goes, well, I said, no, he had nothing to do with it. And he said, show me. And I showed him. I said, the guy that quit, he did it. And I showed him all the paperwork. And he said, good job, David, good job. And I said, I didn't want to get a good job on me. I just wanted to keep this guy's job. That guy come to me when he found out he kept his job. He came to me with tears in his eyes, and he hugged my neck, and he said, I'll never forget this as long as I live. From that day forward, he was like a bodyguard for me. I left Fountain, and 5 years later, I was gone from Fountain. A guy moved next door to my father-in-law. And he says, yeah, I just retired from Fountain. And my father says, really? He says, my son-in-law used to work there. He said, who was he? He said, David Linton. And he said, the man fell to his knees and started crying. He said, are you okay? He says, you don't understand what that man means to me. And he's wiping the tears from his eyes. He said, I was so mean to that man. I was so, so mean to that man. And he said, when he had the opportunity to lower the boom on me, he looked out for me. He let me keep my job. He said, you know what? If that man ever needs anything, anytime, day or night, all he did was call me, and I'll be right there for him. Because when he had the opportunity to give me back what I gave him, he showed me God. Some powerful stuff. I'm here to tell you, watch this. The golden rule should always be our compass. It should always be our guide. Matter of fact, here's something. Resolve this year to treat everyone with the love of Christ, and to treat them as you want to be treated. Here's the final one. Come on. You can do it. There we go. Do not envy a violent man or choose any of his ways. Do not envy a violent man or choose any of his ways. For the Lord detests a perverse man, but takes the upright into his confidence. The Lord's curse is on the house of the wicked, but he blesses the home of the righteous. He mocks proud mockers, but gives grace to the humble. The wise inherit honor, but fools he holds up to shame. This is so simple. I'm going to end with this. DC, come on up here and start playing somebody. I'm going to end with this. Keep it simple. That phrase was overplayed a few years ago. But you can't overplay it when it comes to your life. What would Jesus do? What would Jesus do? Yes, Jesus, he took a whip. He made a whip out of cords, and he went and run the money changers out of the temple. But if you'll notice, whenever Jesus lost his temper, it was when people were perverting God and perverting what he had to do. And he was always, when he had problems, it was always with the religious folk. But when there was somebody really hurting, somebody really in need, somebody looked beyond religion and just needed God, what did he do? He was always there. Always. Always. I lived in Benson, right off the exit. And people go by on this exit, and they would always go down the phone book and start calling churches. And because we were one of the first, when the Fairhaven Church of God was one of the first ones in the Yellow Pages, I got a call at least once a week. We're broke down, don't have any money, we're hungry, blah, blah, blah. Same story every week. So I asked the guys, I said, guys, is there a way I can just have a certain amount of money without asking anybody anything and just take this money and just give it to these people when they come by? I said, because you don't know who's really telling the truth and who's not. And I said, I don't want to give a whole bunch, but we do want to make sure they're getting something to eat. And they said, sure. So it was like, $20, $25. Every week we get a call. And somebody said, why are you doing that? I had people that give me their card and say, we're going to give you back this money later on. We're going to do this now. You're going to hear from us again. I never heard from any of them. Not one. Never a one. But I know that I took time out to help somebody in need and not to just do my own ways. I'm going to close this one story. I was getting off my shift as there was only seven of us. We were the core group of a brand new program. There was 100-something ministers signed up for a brand new program at Bishop Johnson Hospital. She picked seven people to be the core group, the pilot group. She got somebody from each denomination. She got me. And so we were building the new chaplain program. We even, at Campbell University, we trained their chaplains how to do hospital business. Well, I was on shift to be called in. It's from Monday morning till Sunday night. So you turn in Monday morning at 8:00. But I was preaching, and the pager went off. So one of the guys, Ricky, the guy that comes here and preaches sometimes, Ricky saw the thing go off. And I already told Ricky, if you see it go off, call him and see what's going on. So Ricky called him and see what was going on. And they said there was somebody that was having a hard time with their blood pressure and all their vital signs, a pregnant lady. And so he come and told me, I said, well, tell him I'll call him after service. I'll go see him. So I called him after service, and they said, she's going to sleep now. So it'll be okay. So next morning, 8:00, I go to turn in the pager. When I turn in the pager, the Holy Spirit pricks my heart and says, go talk to her. I said, but Lord, I'm off shift finally. He says, go speak to her. So I go in intensive care, and she's hooked up on machines, oxygen, all kinds of stuff. And we're sitting there talking. She's pregnant. We're talking. She's a young lady. And she was Church of God. And so we're talking. And about 5 minutes into the conversation, the Holy Spirit spoke to me just as plain as day and said, her problem is not medical. Her problem is emotional and spiritual. She's anxious because she's getting ready to abort that child. She can't make a decision. This is the Holy Spirit talking to me. And so, again, I could have just went on my way and not even gone and talk to her. But she's talking to me. She's crying. And I said, can I be bold and tell you what the Holy Spirit's telling me right now? And she said, yes, sir. And this was against all the rules of the hospital, all the rules. I was breaking all the chaplain rules. I said, I believe the problem you got with your blood pressure and your breathing and your sugar and all this stuff is from anxiety. And I said, it's because you can't decide whether you want to abort this child or not. And you're thinking about aborting this child soon. And she busted out crying. And she said, how did you know that? I said, the Holy Spirit just told me that. And so we get talking on and on and on and on. And she goes, I'm so glad you come and talk to me. She said, because I really didn't know what to do about this child. And the only thing I knew to do was to abort it. And now talking with you, I know different. And I said, matter of fact, here's what I want you to do. I want you to, when this child is born, her mama came in the room. And she looked at mama and she said, mama, I'm not going to abort the child now. And her mama went, whoa, and she was crying. And she said, well, how did he know? And she said, God told him. And I told her, I said, you know what? If it's a girl, just remember Victory. If it's a girl, name her Victoria. If it's a boy, name her Victory, but Victory. You got victory in this if you hold on. Well, I left that day. I decided to come back tonight to visit her. And when I came back to intensive care, the nurse said, she's not in intensive care. She's in a regular room. I said, but she was on all these monitors. She said, yes, I know. We want to talk to you about that. And I said, why? What? Whoa, whoa, whoa. What are you talking to me about that? She said, what'd you do to her? She literally asked, what did I do to her? I said, I didn't do anything to her. She said, no, 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 no. She was on all these machines. You left and everything started going down to normal. So she's in a regular room. I said, that's just the power of God. And so I walked to her room again. I told her, I said, Victoria, the victory, victory. You got the victory. Well, that was early on in her pregnancy. We left and moved to Williamston. remember in Williamston one day, and my wife says, there's an envelope here, and it smells kind of good. And it's got David Linton on it. She says, you got something you want to tell me? I said, it's got to be D.C.'s. And I said, let me see that envelope. And I turned on the back of the envelope. It said, victory. I said, no, this is mine. I forgot all about it. And I opened up that letter. And this was the one time somebody let me know. She said, Pastor David, I'm here to tell you that I followed God's direction. And we had that baby. And it was a boy. Matter of fact, his name is Victor, for victory. And she says, thank you for coming that day, and thank you for letting God talk to you, and thank you for not just brushing me aside, but taking time. She said, me and Victor will never forget what you did. I didn't do anything. I was the Western Union man. I delivered the message. But you see, this year coming up, because I could have been easy. I could have just dropped the pager off and went on about my business that Monday morning. Just dropped off the pager. I was tired. Drop off the pager and just keep on going. But instead, I listened to the Spirit. I went in and talked with that lady. And immediately, it's an immediate thing how God started working in her life. Matter of fact, I went and told the director of the program what happened. And she got so excited. And so I came back to the hospital a week later. And she said, I'm resigning. I said, well, why are you resigning? I was the one that messed up. She said, yeah, but I told everybody how good it was. Our program's so awesome that we prevented an abortion. And she said, what you told me was in confidence. And I got so excited, I was blabbering all the board, and they're all excited. And she said, so since I broke your confidence, I'm quitting. I said, please don't quit. So then I had to minister to her. As far as I know, she's still a director there. I don't know. But this year is our best year. But the only way this can be our best year is if we quit waiting for somebody else to do it and do it. Quit waiting for somebody else to go out and call somebody. Quit waiting for somebody else to get a hold of somebody else. Quit waiting for somebody else to do something. Do something. If your house was on fire tonight, and you woke up in the middle of the night and your house is on fire, you're going to lay there and burn to death? Are you going to lay there and let your children in there? You're going to get up and do something, aren't you? Well, guess what? The church all over the world is on fire. Do something. Do something. This church, do something. Watch what God will do. Next week's going to be the kicker ender to this one, that is New Year's resignation. And I'm not talking about somebody quitting. It's going to be something entirely, well, you got to be here to see it, to hear it, but it's going to be awesome. Let's all stand. I want everybody that will just come and pray. Everybody that will just come and pray and just ask the Lord to help you get a new vision of the future and to have the guts to do something. God, give me guts. Give me wisdom. Give me understanding. Father, in the name of Jesus, I love you. I praise your name. I thank you for your grace. I thank you for your mercy. I ask you right now, Lord, to touch in a very powerful, powerful way. Which hospital? Which room? Call me. Text me. Ready? Everybody, pray for Frances. She's in Pitt Memorial Hospital. Lord, right now in the name of Jesus, touch my sister. Let her know, God, that your hand is upon her. Let her know, God, that you've got your power backing her. Lord, we thank you, God. She's got a strong faith. She believes in you and knows you can handle it. Father, in the name of Jesus, we trust you 100%. We trust you. We thank you for all that you're doing, Lord. In the name of Jesus, touch Jimmy too, Lord. Touch us all, Lord, so we know what to say and how to be around her, Lord, to show her the way. We speak life in the name of Jesus. Thank you, Lord. 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 God's awesome. God's awesome. God's awesome. God's awesome. Come on back Tuesday night. We're going to have a good time in the Lord. And remember, this year, you got to tell yourself. Because I'm going to tell you who talks to you more than anybody else. You. You know, my mama used to say, it's not so bad. My mama used to say, well, talking to yourself is not bad. It's when you answer yourself. We talk to ourselves all the time. And you know what we mostly do? We talk ourselves out of things. We talk about how bad we've done, blah, blah, blah. We're our worst critic. How about this year? Try to learn how to say, yes, we can. Yes, God's in this. Yes, God's got this. God's got this. I can do this. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. I know God talks to me. I thank him for talking with me. I know God's got this. Try doing stuff like that and see how your life will turn around overnight. Overnight. How many know what G-O-G-I is? Or G-I-G-O is? Garbage in, garbage out. That's what you tell about computers. Garbage in, garbage out. I tell my boys all the time. They go, Daddy, they're trying to teach me that we came from monkeys. I said, son, for that class, you may have to answer what they said, but just remember, it's G-I-G-O, garbage in, garbage out. Remember that. But the same way, you know what? Why do I want to eat out of a trash can when I got a refrigerator with food in it, and I got cabinets with food in it? Why do I want to eat out of a trash can? The same way, why do I want to have a trash can in my head when there's all this stuff around us that's good? Feed your brain good stuff. Amen? Amen. Brother Steve, we dismiss this in prayer, please.